Hey guys, how you doing? This video is based on a question we get all the time, and actually we're going to turn this into a whole series about how to hear from God, but this is the first step in actually doing that. A lot of people ask us, you know, what do you do? What is the secret place? What should I do in my alone time with God? How do I pursue Jesus? What does it look like to actually follow him on a daily basis? One of the biggest things in our household, Jesse and I, is the secret place. But kind of all started when we were in New York City, and yeah, we were both reading our Bibles, we were praying, we were doing the thing, but we didn't take it as seriously as we could have. And then we read this book by Bob Sorge called Secrets of the Secret Place, and I highly recommend you go out and get that book. I think there's an anniversary edition out now that's like really nice and hardcover if you're like a bibliophile and like nice books, which I do. I order books all the time. It drives my wife crazy. But this is a great way to start. I just want to give you a starter pack on a really simple way to be with Jesus, because that's the point of the secret place. The secret place is not just doing the discipline, which is healthy and important, but it's being with Jesus, the time that belongs to him exclusively during your day. As you go about your day, working, cleaning, you know, going to your job, building a business, doing ministry, whatever that looks like, we want to make sure that we've set aside time specifically for him. And this is a quick way to get that started. Now, there is no tomorrow. So if you're watching this in the morning, then have your quiet time tonight. If you're watching this in the evening, have your quiet time tonight before you go to bed. But I highly recommend doing it in the morning so you can just start your day with Jesus and you give him the first part of your day. I found that it makes a huge difference for me, and it makes a huge difference for those that we lead and those that we disciple. Doing it first thing in the morning. And actually, that's the model for the most part of Jesus. You see him leave in the morning, early, while it's still dark, and go and be with his Father to pray first thing in the morning. Now, when big stuff is happening in his life, and his life seems to be unusually busy and ministry is popping off, he's popular, things are going crazy, you see him pray all through the night. When he chooses his 12 disciples, which will eventually be the 11 apostles because one betrayed him, he prays all night long. He prays all night long for important decisions. Now, if the God of heaven and earth in flesh, the Logos, the actual word in flesh. So he was first the word that pre-exists before all time, before time was even created, before this universe was created, takes the time to pray and seek his Father before he makes massive decisions in his life, or to just get fuel for ministry and to live life, then that's something we need to pay very close attention to. And think about it this way. Jesus did all kinds of miracles. He healed the sick. Right? He cleansed lepers. He raised the dead. He ruined funerals. He did all kinds of things. He multiplied bread for thousands of people, right? He walked on water. He's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. In the end, he raises from the dead himself. But what did his disciples ask him? What do his disciples ask him? Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. So I want to teach you to step into your secret place in a prayerful way. So the first thing you need to know is that you're just directly following the practice of Jesus. A lot of people ask the question, you know, it's kind of weird. Like you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. People love to put that in their bio for some stupid reason. You can just call yourself a Christian. It's fine. Everyone knows what you're talking about. But following Jesus in our daily lives today, right here, right now, while we don't have the physical presence of Jesus, yet we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, what does that actually look like? Well, it looks a lot like if he were here, what would you do? So spending time with him. How does spending time with the Lord of heaven and earth look when you don't have a physical person present sitting in front of you? First thing I want you to do is set aside all distractions. All distractions. And how does that work? It works different for a lot of different people. This is how it works for me. So I have a little notebook that I write for my journal. It's this little guy right here. And then I have another one set aside for all my tasks that pop into my brain. Because the first thing that's going to happen when you try and have your secret place is all the stuff you should be doing, which you weren't going to do at that time in the morning anyways. But for some reason, all the tasks that need to be done come into your head the exact moment that you sit down to be with Jesus. Also, put your phone in a different room and put your phone in a different room and set a timer on it if you need to do that in order to get on with your day, right? Get ready for work, get the kids ready, get them up, get them off to school, whatever it is that you're doing in the morning, set a timer for that so the phone isn't right next to you, because it will draw you in. It's literally made to draw you in. The whole device is made for you to live in it, and many of us do. So in this time specifically, it's good practice for the rest of your life to put the phone in a different room. If you need to have the phone in the room with you, even during the day, you've got a problem, right? You've got an addiction problem. Imagine if you drank beer, right? You're drinking beer and everywhere you go, you need a beer in hand. Every single place that you go, you need a sip. Every couple seconds, you need a sip. All throughout your day, you need a sip. You need another sip. You need another sip. By the end of the day, you'll be drunk. And a lot of people at the end of the day are like, why do I feel foggy? Why do I feel so depressed? Why can't I think clearly? Why can't I focus on the people in my life? Well, you probably didn't sleep well. You probably didn't drink enough water. You probably didn't do a million other different things that make your health better as a human being. But one of the number one things for us is the phone. The phone is going to interrupt your intimacy, both with those that you love and especially in your secret place with Jesus. Make sure it's in a different room. So make sure you get rid of any distractions that might be in the room, okay? Pick a place in your house. Pick a place in your house that you like to go, okay? So when you wake up in the morning and you feel tired, you actually like to go there. I've got a chair in my living room that I sit in, or I sit right at this desk if it's available, right? I sit right at this desk first thing in the morning to be with Jesus. One of the great things about this space is that it's close to my house and there's no distractions in here. It takes a lot of effort for my kids or my wife to come out here and distract me. So it has to be something important if they're going to come distract me. It's where I do study. It's where I do secret place during the day. But first thing in the morning, I sit in that chair. I turn on the little lamp. If it's winter, I'll light a little fire. I'll make a coffee beforehand. I have a whole routine where I sit down in a place that I like to be with Jesus. So a place. Next, pick a time. And I say this to everybody. Put it in your calendar. Put your time with Jesus in your calendar. If you're not using your calendar yet, grow up. Everything works on time. Start using your calendar. It's annoying everybody else that you're not using it. Put it in your calendar. If it's 5 a.m., 6 a.m., if you're in a crazy season, 4 a.m., right? Make sure that time with Jesus is in the calendar and just call it that. Just put in your calendar right now. I'm going to give you a second while you're watching this video to put in your calendar time with Jesus and put it on repeat. Every single day, be with Jesus. Every single day, be with Jesus for the sake of actually just being with Jesus. It's so important. Treat him like a person and you'll get an actual person. So we're going to talk about what scripture says about what Jesus actually did. So Matthew 6:6-7, it says, when you pray, go and shut the door and pray in private so your Father in heaven will reward you. That's a promise. That means when you shut the door, that Jesus will be there. When you shut the door, your Father in heaven's presence is there. If you set aside time to specifically be with him in secret, that's how he rewards you, it says, in public. God's going to reward you for being with him, right? And what's the reward? You find out in the end, the reward is actually him. The reward is actually the presence of God himself. Think about all the things the presence of God has done through scripture. It calls people to prophesy. It hovered over the deep waters and made creation, right? It breathed into man. The presence of God breathed into man, so he took his first breaths, right? After he formed him out of clay, right? We see the presence of God transform things. So the presence of God being with you, right, is something that can't be faked. You can fake good preaching. You can fake good business practices. You can even fake a relationship for a time. But the reality is that you cannot fake whether or not you've been with Jesus. And I want to warn specifically ministers right now. You can't fake it. The second you get up on a stage, there will be people in your audience and people that are watching, whether it's on video or whatever it is, that know whether or not you've been with Jesus or whether or not you're a good preacher. Now, people might keep coming back because you're a good popcorn preacher. but there's no substitute for the presence of God and knowing when the presence of God shows up in order to honor that presence. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, Jesus got up, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, right? It says in Luke 5:16, went to solitary places to pray. So you've got Matthew 6:6-7, Luke 5:16, and Mark 1:35 to give you a reference point for what Jesus did. Now, if you're following Jesus, right, you want to get as close to him as possible. You want to smell the sweat on the man. So in order to do that, you go where he goes. You do what he asks, right? He's the Lord of your life if you're following Jesus. So that means that you practice the practices that he had while he lived a perfect life on earth. Now, if he lived a perfect life and he took time aside early in the morning before anyone was awake, right? He did that specifically because he was so busy. A lot of people, your first hurdle is, oh, I'm so busy. First thing when I wake up in the morning, I've got to take care of XYZ. Well, it's time for you to wake up earlier. It's time for you to realize what you have available to you with the presence of God and actually spending time with him. Now, how do you approach like the order? A lot of people are like, well, where do I start? What do I do? What I normally do is sit down and just open the word first thing. I've got a reading plan that I'm going through with the rest of our church called Salt Church here in North Carolina. And we sit down, I read the scripture, and I wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And you're like, what are you talking about, Parker? Wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to me. This is usually how I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I'll go through scripture and just be reading along, right? Reading, doing the due diligence stuff, right? Because I want the first thing in my mind and in my heart in the morning to be scripture. So I'll start reading, and then all of a sudden I can't get away from a particular verse. Like I'll have a question about it. I'll wonder what's happening with it. I'll never have read it in that light before. Like, oh, I've read this passage before, but this feels different. Something seems different about it. I want to encourage you, when that happens, pay attention and hover over that passage. Don't just keep moving along. A lot of times that is God trying to speak to you through that passage, either for yourself or for others, right? Or he's trying to open your heart and your mind to sanctification, which is we are changed by the word. We don't change the word ourselves. One of the biggest problems in the church now, and especially when people spend a lot of time with their Bible alone outside of a biblical Christian community, is they read themselves into scripture, right? Well, this is about me. This is about me. This is about me. A lot of times, what God is trying to do with scripture is transform the way you think. Transform the way you think according to the word. Like it says in Romans, like Paul exhorts us to do. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the word. That's how you do that. Through the Bible. On a daily basis, right? And think about how much time you consume content. How much time you're taking other voices in. How much time your own brain, your own thoughts, like 10,000 plus thoughts a day are bouncing through your mind, and many of them are actually negative and wrong. You need to adjust your thinking according to what the Bible actually says. The Bible says the mind is spirit. It's difficult to separate how we think and our actual spirit. So the way you think actually transforms your life. And I'm not saying this in a Joel Osteen-esque type way. I'm not saying this in a Tony Robbins sort of way. What I'm saying is, we let the scripture read us and transform us, no matter what the outcome is. Because the way that the disciples followed it, which became the apostles, is they all died except for one, right? So it doesn't seem like all roses all the time when you do what the Bible tells you to do. Imagine you're working for somebody, right? And you know they're committing fraud. Like, you know, they're consistently doing the wrong thing, but your paycheck is good. It feeds your family, et cetera, et cetera. You may go through scripture and the Holy Spirit will convict you to quit or to be a whistleblower and actually call it out and tell the truth. Now, you're probably going to lose your job. People may not hire you again because there's a lot of businesses out there that have shady practices. You may have to pick up another trade or expertise, but the Bible tells us that we can't be dishonest, not just with our words, but we can't be dishonest with our actions as well. And those things come out of knowing that God's going to take care of you. And that comes from repetition in the secret place. What I want to encourage you right now to do, before it even starts to work or feel like it's working, just start getting your reps in and do your part, because God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Many times, and it seems like you're in a dry season, it seems like you're in a difficult season when it comes to your secret place, you don't feel like getting up, you don't feel like doing it, oh, God hasn't spoken to me in a while. You have to show up to the table to get spoken to. You have to know how he speaks by being in the word. Know his character. Know what he wants done in your life and the lives of those around you. And the only way as a father in my house, the only way as a father that I can genuinely give to my family on a daily basis is to be in the secret place. The only way I can lead them is to be in the secret place. The only way I can be genuinely as honest as I possibly know how is to be in the secret place, because I know that I've been in the presence of God and he actually fills me up. And here's the weird part about it. You're not necessarily going to your secret place to get filled up. A lot of people do this like, oh, I got to fill my cup. I got to fill my cup. The way that your cup is actually filled is by focusing on him, by giving to him, by giving adoration to him. So the first thing that you do is read your Bible. Make that the first thing in your brain, right? Approach it with a prayerful attitude though, right? So as you're reading and something jumps out at you, stop for a second, ask questions of the scripture, right? Let the scripture interpret itself. Find other places in scripture where there's similar scriptures or it gives context to what you're reading. Learn everything you can about it. And God likes to give revelation. Like they're like these little treats he gives, right? To his kids. It's like having a meal, right? The next thing I tend to do is pray. So I'll pray for my family first. Eventually I'll pray for myself, but first I pray for those that are in my charge. So my church, the people in my church, the people that are specifically highlighted to me, right? Like, you know, when you're going through the day and like, this is what I mean by highlighted, you know, you're going through the day and all of a sudden you think of someone you haven't talked to in a long time and you're like, oh, I should text them. I've gotten in the habit now of actually texting those people and it's been so cool and so fruitful, right? I pray for that person and then reach out to them. Sometimes it's family members, sometimes it's old friends. It depends. But I always dive into that now. So if God is asking you to pray for someone, he's maybe calling you to intercede on their behalf. You have no idea what they're actually going through many times. So praying for them is really important. I pray for the people in my life. I pray for the protection over my home. I pray for protection over our church. And then I move a lot of times right into praying for the things that I desire along with God. So that means the expansion of the kingdom, right? I want more people to get saved in our church. I want the Spirit of God to descend on the place. I want revival to take place. I want there to be such an insane sense of the presence of God and miracle signs and wonders taking place that people can't stay away. That if it's a rainy day on Sunday, they'll still come to church because it can't be missed. Right? A lot of times pastors complain, oh, no one's coming to church because it's raining today. I've stopped doing that. And I thought, well, if church was good enough, right, and the presence of God was tangibly showing up every Sunday, I bet people wouldn't miss it, right? Or they would be so disgusted by it because of their conviction that they would never want to come back again, or they'd want to repent and join the kingdom. So those are the type of things I'm praying for. And then at the end, I do a daily repentance routine. So God, what is it in me that I need to turn back toward you? Maybe I've drifted somewhere. Maybe I've turned away from you. Now, repentance a lot of times is a dirty word for people, but repentance is a gift. The fact that you have the opportunity to go to God and that he'll faithfully forgive you. It says that in James, I believe. In James, it says, if you go to him, right, and confess your sins, right? Go to Jesus, confess your sins. He's faithful to forgive. He's going to set you right back on track. He knows your faults already. He knows the mistakes you've made already. But the transformation and the sanctification and feeling that relief of the restoration of relationship with God comes from repentance, right? Now, if it's a sin that's affecting other people, that's the dangerous place for people, and a lot of times why they don't repent in the secret place, because there's going to be a nagging feeling that you need to go to the people that you've harmed and actually ask for forgiveness from them as well. So there's a restoration of relationship that comes out of the secret place as well. Jesus would always pray when life was unusually busy. That's something I want to say again. I've said it already in this video, but do not let busyness get in the way of hearing from God. When God speaks, creation happens. When God speaks, things are transformed. When God speaks, the direction in your life is changed. You can fast, you can pray, you can seek God, but the two things that I do a lot of times is just read the word and pray. And I usually have about an hour and a half in the morning that I set aside for God. Another thing I really love to do, my wife got me these awesome noise-canceling headphones. I will sit in my chair and just meditate and listen to worship music. Meditate on scripture. That means fill yourself with scripture. That's why it's different than Eastern meditation, which is emptying yourself. And I just listen to worship. I let the words like kind of just flow over me and I'll sing. You know what I mean? I'll sing in our little living room. I'll sing up here. I'll worship God in my secret place with him and elevating him to his proper place. That's the beginning of prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We set his name above everything else. And all your problems start to seem insignificant and not important as you thought they were, and bumps in the road as opposed to giant mountains. And faith is filled up because you're looking at the one who gives faith in the first place. So don't let busyness be an excuse. And another one, don't let tiredness be an excuse. Think of the people that came before you in the faith and how disciplined they were in being with Jesus. Think about even your own grandma and grandpa and how disciplined they were in just life in general. You're actually not that tired. You're just not used to waking up early. So I want to encourage you right now on your phone, set an alarm. Tell a significant other, tell your husband or your wife, tell a friend that you're walking out your faith with right now that I'm going to start this secret place thing. Do you want to do it with me? If you're not, and this is the thing. Oh, well, I spend time with God throughout the day. No, you don't. You spend time with yourself for the most part. You're mostly in your own head. You need to set aside that time to be with him. And if you haven't done that in a long while, or it's sporadic and it's not working right now, then put it in your calendar and say, okay, for the next 60 days, I'm going to be with Jesus. The next 60 days. You're like, Parker, that's quite a while. It's like, yes. And it'll reset the course of your entire life. Just 60 days to reset the course of your entire life being with Jesus. Do that over the next 60 days and have other people join with you. All right. So I'll probably post about this a little bit on my Instagram as well. You can find me at Parker Richard Green. I'm going to post about this 60-day challenge when it comes to the secret place. And I want you to do it with me and we'll walk this out together. And if you have questions, shoot me a DM. Thanks for watching.